You know this is prophetic, as you know the betrayal of Christ. I was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. And you know what happened to that money? When Judas Iscariot was ashamed of what he had done, tried to give the money back to the priest, and we'll read about that later. But let's turn to chapter 13 of Zechariah in verse number 6. Where again, Zechariah, speaking of the death of Christ, not just his betrayal, but his eventual death, he says in verse number 6, Zechariah 13, 6, "And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." Psalm 22, David wrote, about 1,000 years before Christ, "They pierced my hands and my feet." Zechariah says, "What are these wounds in thine hands?" And he answered, "These with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." Awake, O sword, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Notice the distinction there. The man that is my fellow and the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Again, a prophecy concerning the death of Christ, the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So we read this prophecy in Zechariah many years before Christ would be born and before he would be betrayed by Judas Iscariot. Now let's read the record in Matthew chapter 26 of how this came about. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 14. We read in this passage, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will you give me?" Now remember the question back in Zechariah. What is the price? What is the value that you value me? "What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you." And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. That's not just a coincidence. That's a fulfilling of the prophecy of Zechariah. Now, of all the prices that Judas could have asked or that the chief priest could have agreed to, why is it 30 pieces of silver? Well, we know why it's 30 pieces of silver, because the prophecy had gone before. What did they value Christ? What did Judas value Christ? I mean, he was selling his friend. Jesus called him friend when he came to betray him. Next few verses, in verse number 49, Matthew 26, "And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him." He'd given them a sign, "The one that I shall kiss, that's the one. I'm betraying him to you." They covenanted together for 30 pieces of silver. Judas asked that price, evidently, and they agreed to it. What a bargain, as far as the chief priests were concerned. Wasn't much of a bargain for Judas, because he would throw it back. The chief priest and Judas Iscariot agreed on 30 pieces of silver. Selah. Think about that. 30 pieces of silver. Now, if you go back in the book of Exodus, chapter 21, let's go back and read this, because I think you should understand the value of this. Exodus chapter 21 and verse number 32. This is the law that Moses gave. Exodus chapter 21, verse number 32. Talking about an ox being on the loose and goring people, the penalty that's laid on the owner of that ox. I'll not read it all, but look in verse 32. If the ox shall push against a manservant, if it pushes against the owner, earlier in verse 29, his owner shall be put to death. But if he push against a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto the master 30 shekels of silver. And the ox shall be stoned. 30 shekels of silver, because an ox gored a man, a slave, actually, a manservant means a slave. They could buy slaves for 30 pieces of silver. Think about that. The price that they agreed to pay Judas was the price that a man would have to pay if his ox gored a man, a slave, and killed him. They'd have to pay the owner 30 pieces of silver and have to kill the ox. Again, this is not coincidental. This is the outworking of God and the prophecies that went before. And I want to preach this morning, and the title of my message is The Value of Jesus Christ. How much was he worth to Judas? Well, he agreed with the chief priest with the price of 30 pieces of silver. What was the price agreed upon by the chief priest? They agreed to pay 30 pieces of silver. How much did they value the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember, they hated him. They wanted to kill him. They may have paid more. That's speculation, but they really wanted him dead. They had to catch him after dark. They had to catch him when most of the multitude was not around. But what is the true value of Christ to Judas, his friend, to Judas, his disciple, to Judas, his betrayer? How much money did he want to betray the Lord Jesus Christ? 30 pieces of silver? Now, you know he was a thief. The Bible tells us that in another passage, John chapter 12. He kept the bag, and he was complaining because Mary took that alabaster box of ointment and anointed the Lord Jesus Christ. He said this could have been sold and given to the poor. He had no intention of giving anything to the poor. The Bible tells us he kept the bag. He wanted the money to put in the bag. He wanted the money for himself. So that character eventually comes out when he agrees with the high priest to sell the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. You talk about an indictment of mankind. You talk about total depravity, as Randy spoke of this morning. How depraved is a man that could sell a man? Now, a lot of talk about slavery. They used to buy and sell people back in these days and even in America. And it seems it's being made a horrible thing, even though some of it wasn't so horrible. They were actually benefiting those people. But slavery as a thought is a horrible thought. But Jesus Christ was sold for the price of a slave. That's how they valued him. That was their value. They're willing to pay that price. Back in our text, and I'll just read this to you again. You don't have to turn, but I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price. What is my price? And if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And it was fulfilled in the days of our Savior when they sold him. Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Now in chapter 27 of Matthew, if you turn to verse number 6. Well, let's read verse 3 leading into it. Chapter 7, when they led Jesus away after Judas sold him, the verse 3 of Matthew 27, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I've sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. It appears Judas didn't think they would kill him. But he's on the way to be crucified. He's on the way to be judged. And he'll be condemned and sold and crucified. But notice verse 5, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Now, notice he didn't repent toward God. He repented toward the chief priest that he had sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. There's no mention of his repenting toward God, but he repented for his foolishness. And he went out and hanged himself. Verse 6, and the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it's not lawful for to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. They recognized what it was. And they took counsel and brought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Now notice, wherefore the field was called the field of blood unto this day. Verse 9, Matthew 27, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed them, as the Lord appointed me. How much did they value Christ? What did they do when Judas gave the money back? They wouldn't take it. That 30 pieces of silver meant nothing to them. They couldn't take it into the treasury. They bought a potter's field where strangers could be buried, or those who were poor couldn't have a grave. They just put them in the potter's field. How sad a testimony. The value that Judas and the high priest put on the life of Christ. 30 pieces of silver. What was the value that God put on him? What a contrast when you consider the value that God placed on Jesus Christ. Matthew 3, verse 17, at his baptism, a voice spoke from heaven, thou art my beloved Son. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when he was transfigured before them, a voice said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. Matthew 17, verse 5. What did God value? What value did God place on his Son? He's my beloved Son. John's Gospel, 3 times. My beloved Son. My beloved Son. My beloved Son. First Peter 1, verse 17. I'll just read this to you, just one verse. When Peter wrote his first epistle, he said this concerning the fact that he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He witnessed this, and this is his testimony. First Peter 1, verse 17. I'm sorry, it's 2 Peter 1, verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. 2 Peter 1, verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. John calls him the only begotten Son of God. Only begotten Son. What kind of value did God place on him? I mean, we have the testimony of what God thought of him in the Bible, but beloved, we have a greater testimony even than that as you look at his life and his death. What value did God place upon his Son? In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18, we read this testimony from John the Apostle. He recorded these things. In John 1, verse 18, again, I'll just read this one verse to you. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him. What person? What individual? What man, as we read in Zechariah 13, what man did God choose to lead him forth into full revelation but the Lord Jesus Christ? He manifested the Father in all of his glory and honor. And God chose a man, as we read in Hebrews chapter 10, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. What value did God place on Christ to give him this honor of coming into this world and manifesting who he was? Further, what value did he place on his Son when in John 19 verse 30 and he lifted up his voice as he was dying and he said, it's finished, and he gave up the ghost? When you read in Isaiah chapter number 53, those glorious passages. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 10. I make reference to this a lot because it is so fulfilling of what happened. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, his own Son. What value did he place on his Son that to be satisfied for our sins? The only person, the only man that could ever satisfy God and could say it's finished in truth and actuality was the Lord Jesus Christ, because it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his deed, his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. You wonder how much God valued his Son? There's going to be a multitude which no man can number stand in the very presence of God, because God valued his Son and his life enough that when he gave his life, the price that God demands for sin of a multitude of people was fulfilled and paid full in Jesus Christ. It was a great value to God. And the only thing he'll ever accept as payment for sin is this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He valued him so greatly, it can't even be expressed. What price could any man give for the Lord Jesus Christ? What price would be sufficient? There's no price. Far beyond anything, any gold, any gems, any thing that man might place a value on, nothing could ever satisfy God and take away his Son, because he valued him above everything. So much so that it's the only satisfaction that God will ever know for sins. What about, thirdly, the apostles who knew him, who walked with him? What does Peter say? In 1 Peter 1, verse number 18, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, they walked with him, they knew him. They didn't fully recognize who he was. They were confused when he was crucified. But after he was risen from the dead, listen to the testimony of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, when he speaks of Christ. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver or gold, from your vain conversation of the practice of the Old Testament. Received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb, without blemish and without spot. What did the apostles believe about Christ and his value? Judas was an apostle, but he was never saved. Christ did not, it was of no value to him to sell him for 30 pieces of silver. But Peter says, we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He says, further in chapter 2, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. What did they think of Christ? How did they value him? Limitless value. They knew that they were redeemed through his blood. First Peter 2 and verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect. How did Peter value Christ? Oh, he's the elect. He's the Messiah. He's the one promised in the garden. He's the one promised repeatedly in the Old Testament. He's the one who came to fulfill all that's ever been written by the prophets. Elect. Precious. Peter says he's precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Peter knew the value of Christ. He's the elect that God spoke of in the garden. He's the elect that God spoke of to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to David. He's the elect. He's the one fulfilling the Messiah and his role as the deliverer. Precious. How does the universe value him? Well, stand with the apostles on the Sea of Galilee on a ship that's about ready to sink. And listen as he commands, peace, be still. And acknowledge what the universe thought of him. Those powerful waves that were twisting the ship in every direction, and the winds that were tearing at the sails, the Bible says they lay down flat. Or look as he come into Jerusalem in a great triumphal entry, when he got on the back of a colt that had never been broken, and he didn't throw him off. He carried him into the city. Beloved, I'll tell you what the universe thinks of him. The universe recognizes him as their creator. Shame on any man that cannot recognize God as a creator. Creation recognizes God as a creator. At his voice, and we find this throughout the Old Testament, walking on the wings of the wind, the creation always recognized him. The writers of the New Testament recognized him. Colossians chapter number 1, beginning in verse 14. They recognize him not only as creator, but as the sustainer. He keeps everything in place. The universe recognized the value of their creator. Without him, they wouldn't even exist. And they would not continue without him. But last of all, what does he mean to us? What value do we place on Christ? Back in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, wherefore also is it contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. That's Peter's assessment. That's Peter's value. That's what he values Christ. But what about you this morning? What about me? If you're here lost, what about you? What value do you put on Christ? You don't even want to hear about it. You close your ears against it. Because you're lost. And one of the ways you can know you're lost is you don't want to hear about Christ. You don't want to think about the value that he has. But Peter goes on to say in verse 7, unto you therefore that believe, he's precious. Not only is he precious to Peter, but he's precious to everyone who believes what Peter wrote. Everyone that believes, he's precious. Danny used to sing a song years ago, Jesus is precious. I love that song. It expresses somewhat what I'm trying to say this morning. Jesus is precious to me, the song says. It's simply saying that Jesus Christ is priceless to them that believe. Unto you, therefore, that believe, he's precious. You can't put a value on it to a saved person. We don't know his value to the fullest extent, but we know one thing. He's more precious than anything else we've ever known. He's precious. In the last part of verse 7, he goes on to say this, but to them which be disobedient. But to them which be disobedient. He's disallowed. They don't want to hear about it. They don't care about him. He's a stone of stumbling. He's just something in the way. I can't do what I want to do because I've heard about him. And it bothers me when I do these things. He's a stone of stumbling. He's just in the way of me having a good time. He's just in the way of me doing whatever I want to do. He's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Why did the Jews crucify Christ? Why were they willing to pay even 30 pieces of silver to get Judas to betray him? Because they hated him. They hated what he preached. They hated the fact that he rebuked them for their religion or lack of it. More than anything else, the Jews hated Christ because of his words. If you're not saved this morning, what really bothers you about Christ is what he said. In John chapter number 8, he's very plain. I want to read this to you. John the 8th chapter. If you're not saved, you may just harden your heart against it. But this is what Jesus says to you through the Word of God. Verse 24 of John 8, I say therefore unto you. You. If you're not saved. That ye shall die in your sins. Now we know we all have to die. That's a given. We see it every day. We acknowledge it. We face it. Ye shall die in your sins. It's one thing to die. It's another thing to die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That's pretty honest, isn't it? Right to the point. He doesn't mince any words. If you don't believe that he is who he claimed to be, if you don't believe that he's the only hope you have, if you don't believe he's precious, then he's disallowed of you. He's a stone of stumbling and you don't want anything to do with him. And you'll be glad when this service is over. Because that's what the preaching of Christ does to a lost person. It torments you. God made him a chief cornerstone. God made him elect. God made him precious. But you disallow all that. You don't have time for that. Because you know to believe in Christ changes your life. You know there's some things you're doing you're going to have to give up. Because a person that believes in Christ doesn't do those things. They valued him at 30 pieces of silver. How much do you value him at? The price of a slave. When I read that and made that comparison, it's horrifying. that a man could sell another man for 30 pieces of silver, the price he could buy a slave for. Because that ox gored a man's servant who was a slave, they had to give the owner 30 pieces of silver and they had to kill the ox. The one that God calls precious, what of you? What value you put on Christ? What place does he have in your life? I hope you're here this morning because he's put you in his church and you value him highly. You want to please him. You know he loves you. You know he loved you when he died, and you know he loves you now. You know he'll love you throughout all eternity. And you put a great value on that kind of dedication, that kind of giving, that he would die for you. Do you value him enough to give him your love in return? John says we love him because he first loved us. It cost you something. It cost you something to come to Christ. It cost you your love. It cost you your life, really. I'm not talking about physical death necessarily. Is he precious to you? I woke up this morning singing a song before I got in the shower. I was already singing it. It just came to my mind. I guess God had this message on my mind. Let me lose my life and find it, Lord, in thee. May all self be slain. My soul seek only thee. Though it cost me grief and pain, I'll find my life again. If I lose my life, I'll find it, Lord. What does it mean to you? You think it's not an important question? Jesus said it's the difference between heaven and hell. If you believe not that I am he, if you don't believe that he's the one, the only one that can take away the burden of your sins, you'll die in your sin. And then you'll know the value, but it'll be too late. Then you'll have regrets and regrets and regrets. Why did I put so little value in the gospel message? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Why did I turn a deaf ear to the message? Christ loved me and gave himself for me. Why didn't I respond? Why didn't I yield to what was in me telling me this is right? This is the way. Walk ye in it. That's what the Holy Spirit does to a person when he's convicting them and drawing them to Christ. What value do you place on the Lord Jesus Christ? You put other things before him, then you consider them more precious. Be it your job, your home, your family, your reputation, anything you can think of. Christ should be of more value than anything that you can ever even think of because of who he is and because of who we are. David said, and he was a great king, who am I, Lord? I thought this as I studied this message, who am I, Lord? A coal miner's son from the mountains of West Virginia. Didn't have much education, but loved by God, loved by the Creator of all things. Loved so much that when Christ was hanging on the cross, my sins were upon him because God loved me. And he valued his son so much that he can forget every sin I've ever, not forget, he can forgive every sin that I've ever committed. And I can stand before him today, justified. Bow your heads. Father, thank you for your word. I pray you'd use it to stir up those of us who are saved that we might serve you better. That you might use it if there's one here without Christ to give them a concern to value Christ above this world and the things this world draws them to. May you help them to commit their life to his service, the time that they have, to be dedicated to one who would love so much that he would die, that they might have the right relationship with God and be reconciled and their sins be taken away. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.